Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Julieta Talevi, and tackling your questions this evening are David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities and Dwayne McCurry from FNB Wealth and Investments. Remember, if you'd like to send us questions, please do them in advance. We are recording the show in the afternoons at the moment, so you can SMS 41392, you can email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za, or you can tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. David, Wayne, good to see you both. Lovely to see your holidayed up faces at the start of the year. And I have to say, it's clear that someone spent a lot of money in Richemont's maison over the last three months because we had a very good day on the JSE today. Sort of heading into the close, it was up 1.25%, and the Richemont results were absolutely scintillating, and the stock was up about 6% at one stage. Wayne, that performance is staggering.
Yeah, no, look, it was Shapiro and all of his mates spending money at the luxury goods there because, okay, putting jokes aside, the rich have got significantly richer over the last 2 years, significantly, and they're starting to spend the money. I mean, here's another statistic which I didn't know until today. And apparently there's 1.2 million Americans who have retired early because their pension funds can easily afford the early retirement, which is one of the reasons why the Federal Reserve Bank got this labor participation rate wrong. And they thought, oh, no, hang on, there's an extra 1.2 million people you can return to the workforce. But they're not going to because they've retired because they've made so much money. And that's why we see the rich people are spending money on luxury goods.
Yeah. Well, I mean, David, the Americas segments of Richemont, staggering, up 55%, I think, in constant currency rates, 59% at actual exchange rates. The question, I suppose, is if you didn't catch the Richemont bus, are you too late now? Because surely they can't repeat this sort of performance.
That Richemont bus has been traveling for 20 years. You know,
but it idled for a very long time. And then it's suddenly someone put their foot on the gas.
I just think it's a brilliant company. And I think not only that, it's if you looked at Burberry, I think all the luxury goods companies are going up for the reason that Wayne mentioned today. Even Anglo American, they put up the price of diamonds, because of an excessive demand. So there is money out there, and just to carry on with what Wayne said, you know, we're getting the baby boomer starting to retire as well, and the baby boomers. Wayne is not a baby boomer. You know, I'm a baby boomer. Those that were born just after the war. And they're the people that got money. And, you know, when they pop off, they're going to give that money to the kids. And those kids are just going to spend. You know, they just can't wait, the kids, just to let go and let rip and start to spend.
Yeah. So do you feel like you've got a sort
extends,
of, you feel like you've got a host of vultures perched outside your window?
Yeah, perched outside your window, yeah.
You know, don't think the kids worry about estate duty and did my dad save tax. They just say, how much? You know, that's all.
I mean, I once had a bit of time to kill at Singapore Airport, and I went into a luxury goods shop there. First time in my life, and it'll probably be the last time either. And they sold clothing, and they had a pair of baggies, you know, swimming shorts, baggies.
Yes.
Baggies for 8,000 rand.
Oh, Wayne, it's a slip,
beach one.
A mere slip. You've got to look good on the beach.
But you can, you know, and the key to all of this I've worked at is you've got to see the name on what you're buying so that other people would see, ooh, that chap paid 8,000 rand for his baggies.
Yeah.
I find it astonishing myself.
Well, I suppose you can't take your sort of your Bentley to the beach. So you might, I mean, you know, you could take your Bentley belt. But moving on to the questions that have come through. So I suppose in this interesting market environment we find ourselves in, you saw a correction in tech stocks. You saw the German Bund go positive for the first time in 2 years today, which does imply that interest rates everywhere are rising. And I wonder how that's going to affect the baby boomers and the great retirement push. But as for the FANG stocks, so the question is specifically for you, David. Would you still be investing in the FANGs this year or the tech-heavy NASDAQ in general? And actually, there's another question related to that. Mm. With the NASDAQ and the S&P correcting about 7% since the beginning of the year, what is the panel's view for the rest of the year? So on tech stocks, would you still be investing in them?
Yeah, I'll try to be brief. Look, last year was an incredible year for those stocks. And you have to, they were looking tired. They were looking stretched as the market has, and there has to be a correction. But I mean, have a look at the Microsoft deal buying Activision Blizzard for $69 billion. They've got so much cash that they have to spend it before pressure starts to build on them. And if you look at all the FANG stocks, they've got massive amounts of cash accumulated that will be spent. And they continue to amass money that they're spending either spending back into their brands, reinvesting in their brands, yep. and so on. So don't write them off. Write them off at your peril. But don't expect the kind of performance. There is going to be a derating this year. You know, in other words, earnings, share prices will not keep up with earnings. But I still like them over time because I still think they're going to be big drivers of growth.
Hmm. Wayne, I mean, the question, there's another following question asking for two or three American tech stocks. Would you buy a Microsoft, or is it now time to maybe sell out of a Microsoft, or is this deal just very, very good for them, no matter the amount of money that they've splashed out for it?
Look, I mean, I must admit, on the deal they've just done, we'll have to see how it pans out. I mean, that's an extraordinary amount of money. But just to come back to David's point, you know, life could not have got better for tech shares during any sort of lockdown. It is the most perfect environment. All other companies were struggling. Now, as we've spoken about Richemont, other companies are, the earnings are coming forward, the more cyclical companies are coming forward. But understand, this is not the dot-com bubble and burst. There's limited downside to these companies because they are generating huge amounts of cash profits. They've got extremely strong balance sheets and their products are being used.
Yeah.
You know, these are world, I mean, there's no other companies like this, like these companies in the whole world. So as David said, and I concur with him, you know, write them off at your peril, but the share prices can fall 20% or 30%. Yeah. You know, in the bigger scheme of things, that's nothing. That's what they went up last year.
But
and then they'll come back again. So if we do see weakness, you know, then you must buy seriously.
But I do think you have to be discerning, because there were tech stocks that got whipped up in this froth of exuberance in the last, if you think of Peloton, which actually isn't a tech stock really, it sells a treadmill, or Zoom. Yeah. I mean, if you had bought Zoom at the top, you are suffering considerably now.
So that's what I'm saying, stick to the fangs,
okay.
The mangs now.
David, is there anything that you would throw into the fangs, American tech stocks, that you think have been maybe ignored?
I like the big ones. I still like the software companies, whether it's Adobe, whether it's Salesforce, because I still think the transition to the cloud, companies, you know, starting to move their businesses onto cloud, is still going to be a big theme. So I'm still very, you know, very happy to accumulate software businesses. And there are quite a few. I personally like Accenture, Salesforce, and Adobe. But, I mean, you can add to that list.
Okay.
That's not a finite list.
Okay.
No, okay. Certainly wouldn't add Tesla to the list.
No.
Okay, fair enough. Then moving on to the local stock market, and there have been some fantastic gains locally. But the question is, for David and Wayne, would these be good additions to a portfolio right now? Perhaps a yes or no on each, because the viewer has given us five. And the context is, I'm aiming to buy quality companies and then forget about them. So Mr. Price, Robix, Dis-Chem, Aspen, MultiChoice. Just a short yes and no answer. Wayne.
Look, I would say yes to everything except MultiChoice. I think MultiChoice is in a very, very difficult position. There's huge competition from the outside players. I mean, I don't watch even though I've still got MultiChoice. You know, 2 years ago, I spent 100% of my TV time watching MultiChoice programs. Now I spend 10% of my time watching MultiChoice programs, and I'm watching Netflix and other providers. So the only one I would be a little cautious on is MultiChoice. Aspen is cyclical, but the other ones are fine.
Mm. David, would you have a similar or a different view to Mr. Price, Robix, Dis-Chem, Aspen?
Not at all. I agree. I think I'm a bit disappointed in MultiChoice, and it's not their fault. It's just simply that it's a very tough area in which to operate. But Robix has done well. You know, look, in all cases, we need a good economy. You know, these companies can't function in a vacuum. They need some kind of demand or demand underpinning. The management in all those businesses are pretty good. Aspen was a bit, I saw the Aspen came down quite, I thought the yes. results were quite good, but I think this is on the fact that the deal fell through, you know, on yes. a sale of, yeah. So, you remember they shot all the way up to 280 and now they've kind of fallen below 200 or thereabouts. Mm. That. But I think they've got themselves right and, you know, we'll slowly pick up now. They've got enough cash. I don't think that deal made much difference to their debt levels as well. In fact, it was going to give them excess debt. But the market responded badly today.
Yeah. Okay. And then moving on to, I suppose, the horror stories of the JSE, and that is Braith and Tongaat. So, firstly, David, thank you and well done for the Crystal Challenge 2022. Very exciting. Can't wait to follow. In the first week, some of the investors already had some FOMO picks. On to Braith. Recently, they raised money in the form of a convertible bond. I feel embarrassed for asking, not doing my homework, but what benefit will there be for a shareholder holding the bond? The bond had no impact on the share price and hence no further dilution as in the case of a rights issue. Did they guarantee a return or why would you want to be a holder?
You asked a nice question. Why would you want to be a holder?
Is that your bigger existential question around Braith?
Exactly. You know, I've got no... I, you know, certain companies, you can't follow everything. And you look at certain businesses, Wayne might be different, but I say, okay, nothing here to really attract me, you know, nothing to draw me in. So you have, the Premier side is a pretty good business, but I think everything else is a bit tricky. I'm not, I'm not going to throw my money after that at all, rights issue or no rights issue. I'm not in that kind of trading mindset, you know, where I'm trying to pick up a quick buck. I don't know. I just think they destroyed themselves years ago with some of their purchases.
Wayne, well, look, they,
I mean this.
Sorry.
I mean this year was up at 150 bucks, eh?
Wayne, can I ask a very stupid question though? On Braith, and that is, can you be a holder? Can you trade the bonds independent of the shares? No.
I don't know the answer. There's probably some secondary market where you could trade the bonds in. But whatever, even if they are listed on some bond exchange, there'll be very, very low liquidity in them. But unfortunately, and it's my error, I don't know the details of this bond. It must be paying a very high interest rate or have some sort of conversion into shares at some sort of strike price. It can't just be a normal bond. No, Braith would not be able to raise capital under normal conditions related to a bond. There's got to be something really special attached to this bond.
Yeah. And now we move on to Tongaat. So the question is, staying with the rights issue theme, now that the rights issue for Tongaat was approved by shareholders this week, could this be the time to buy up the rights and get in low? It seems as if the management involved going forward has a proven track record and the future might be sweet. Wayne, sticking with you, I think that's a big if at this point in time.
Yeah, look, the rights issue will sort out the debt. The underlying business, I mean, understand it's still a sugar business and a property business, and sugar business in particular is highly volatile. I mean, the sugar price can go up and down. You know, it's a commodity. It's a highly volatile area that they're in. So I suppose if you want to punt, you know, you are buying the shares at the bottom. If you were to just do a punt.
Okay, but yeah, don't
invest your pension money.
Don't put your baby boomers' parents' pension into that.
Pension money into it, yeah.
David, I believe that the shareholder meeting was incredibly testy, and people were very unhappy with the magister, which is the company coming in attached to the Rudlin family. There's a lot that is not yet known about how they've got a hold of the money, and of course they have some dubious players within the family, shall we say. Given that you've got a shareholder that isn't exactly beyond reproach, Would that also maybe turn you off investing in a company, or would you put that to one side?
Yeah. Look, I always get scared when they tell me the head office is in Mauritius or some kind of island, which you've got to really look up Google to find out where it is. You know, I just get very nervous of those kind of businesses. And again, there's no transparency in who this new crowd is. So I would be very cautious. That's personal. You know, that's a personal approach, that you want to know who the people running the businesses are, not just some. I don't think they've been forthright in that. A lot of questions have been asked. I would avoid it. We don't have to go into all these companies that are dragging the bottom of the JSC. There's so many other good companies that one could focus on. And I think there's always a hope that you're going to make a quick turnaround or a quick killing as these companies turn around. You know, that's a hard way of making money.
And yet, I mean, I suppose what would disprove you, and people would, you know, a lot of the stock picks of the 1st of Jan 2021 were in the PPCs and the ArcelorMittals, and they turned out to be staggering performers last year. So if you you can make good money in these things. You can lose, you know, so that would so maybe belie your argument.
But look, you must understand, in these cases, you normally only hear about the ones that are successful, not the ones that don't work. And secondly, you got to understand, that's not investing, eh? That's punting.
Mm. Okay.
That's not investing.
Okay.
And you can make money punting, but that's not investing. You can't base your whole investment career on picking these little gems that go up 1,000%, because there's not too many of them. Mm. There's normally... Sometimes you buy the ones and they go down 99%.
Yeah. Okay. Well, David and Wayne, then, is this a punt or an investment? And that's Steinhoff. And it was the wild card pick in a lot of the people in David's Crystal Challenge this year. And they would have done very well because it basically doubled in a month. And the question is, would you buy Steinhoff and hold them? I think they could hit 10 Rand a share. Wayne, you know, if they've got a settlement deal with all the shareholders, not the creditors.
The settlement deal, yeah. The settlement deal with the creditors the shareholders is astonishing. I didn't think I would see that in my lifetime. So this is a very big positive for the company. They're listing Mattress Firm. They're going to get rid of that one. The Pepkor business is an extremely good business. Some of the businesses overseas are extremely good businesses. But there's still risk and reputation attached to Steinhoff, and there'll still be legal matters and criminal cases attached to the company. I mean, even though they've settled with the shareholders, the shareholders have just absolved the directors and management from any litigation. I mean, there's still, you know, a plethora of countries that are going to come after them. So it could go to 10 Rand, but once again, it's still a punt.
I mean, David, do you think the odds of it going to 10 Rand are fairly good? So Wayne has referred to the assets that, you know, they do have these functioning assets. I mean, Mattress Firm isn't necessarily a brilliant company, but they're going to be raising money from the IPO. Pepkor is. Pepco, I think if you looked at the results, you would have seen that sort of the like-for-like growth wasn't great in the results that they came out with recently. Yeah. So maybe don't get too excited there. And then you've got the debt. They have a lot of debt that they have to pay back, and that's kind of been frozen for a while. I still wonder how they're going to manage that process that's going to eat up profits.
Okay, deal done. You know, we've settled. Now have a look at the balance sheet and have a look at how they're going to repay their debt. What do those underlying companies have to generate in order for them to make decent operating profits, you know, to grow at the kind of levels. So I think there's a lot of uphill. You know, they've survived. Credit to them for surviving, and a lot of hard work's gone into that. But this should be in a ventilator fund, this kind of company, because I think it needed a ventilator to just allow it to survive. But as Wayne, just to reiterate, it's a punt. It's a pure punt. You know, you can't really make a strong case for it at this point.
Okay. Then what about these three? Could you make a fairly strong case for them? And it is, the question is, I would like to hear the panel's view on Invicta, Sun International, currently in a pullback, and Transaction Capital, also in a pullback, for the short-term speculation, please. So this person is quite open about the fact that these are sort of short-term punts. Wayne, any of those three, in your view, stage a bit of a rebound, especially Sun International?
Sun International could stage a huge rebound. Invicta should be doing okay. Actually, Invicta's not a bad company, to be honest. And, you know, the mining sector is doing extremely well. As I said, Sun International can stage a comeback, and Transaction Capital is a fantastic business. Mm. I mean, it is truly a fantastic business. So I would actually buy Transaction Capital, not as a punt, as a short-term gain. I would actually buy it for a long-term hold.
Mm. I mean, I was told by someone that Sun City, actually, over the December holidays, you had to queue for hours for everything. It was so busy.
Yeah, you can't get...
So
I tried to book when my trip to the island that David's never heard of was cancelled at the beginning of December. I tried to book a couple of nights at Sun City. You couldn't get in.
Yeah. Mm. So hopefully those filter through into the numbers. David, would you buy any of those?
A short term or a long term? Sure. Very well run. And in a good area in the market, so I've got no issues against any of those. Sun International as well. We're going to get tourists back. You know, it's going to happen. This is a year of normalization. It doesn't feel like it, but it is. You know, people are going to learn to live with the virus, with COVID. You can see it already all around you. And I think we're going to start to see more and more tourists making their way here. Mm. Mm. And I think they're well positioned. So, sure.
Yeah.
I actually went down to the waterfront and spent Saturday night there this weekend. And I stayed at the Sun International Hotel, which was quite full, but the waterfront was totally and utterly packed. There were no foreigners, but it was as busy as what it has ever been that I've experienced. Mm. It was packed.
Yeah, good to see. I will regard the year as normalized when the two of you come into studio. Then I'll know that.
No, I got you.
I'm nearly there. My wife is away in New York, so I'm free to do and even go to restaurants because she's like the Gestapo when it comes to wearing masks and things like that, and absolutely terrified of catching the virus.
Ooh, no, so, All I can say is Melrose Arch must be shivering there because Shapiro's on the loose.
I'm there tomorrow morning. I went to a great Portuguese restaurant on the weekend. I'm living my life.
Living the life. You're spending your kids' inheritance. Good for you. Okay, and then very quickly, last question before I get to stock picks. What is the panel's view on the following shares? Do they think, and what do they think is the fair value of these shares? Vodacom, Combined Motor Holdings, and Sasol. Wayne.
Sure.
Okay. CMH, I think, is a great company. Motor vehicle sales are going to recover hugely. It's a very, very well-run company. So I think that's a good buy. Sasol, to be honest, I'm worried at this current price. I mean, I still can't see how the oil price can stay up so high indefinitely when all other commodity prices have actually fallen. And global growth, even though it'll still be good, is dropping significantly this year in comparison to last year.
Yeah.
And then Vodacom, if you want a dividend, that's fine. But Vodacom almost looks as though it's gone ex-growth. I wouldn't get too excited about Vodacom.
David, I mean, that would suggest that actually only CMH is not necessarily a fair value. Do you think the others are, or maybe overvalued?
And look, you know, the counter argument to what Wayne is saying is that no money is being invested in additional petroleum assets, you know, or oil assets. And therefore, demand is going to come back to pre-COVID levels and keep the price up. You know, we're hearing the famous Goldman Sachs start making projections, which terrify us. You know, every time they make a projection about the oil price, you know, you get very, very nervous because I don't think they've hit their mark ever. And theirs is 100. So that's in Wayne's favor. But, I mean, commodity prices are holding up in a year that we didn't expect them to do. And, of course, that's underpinning Sasol.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's so hard to read. And I mean it. It's very, very difficult to read where this is going, particularly against what might happen in the U.S. economy. You know, we don't know how many rate rises they're going to be and at what and you know, how often. So it's a very tricky situation at the moment.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Listen, the share price over 300, eh? So.
I know. Maybe sell. If you bought in at 30, you've made 10 times.
I know.
Okay, I've got a minute left between the two of you. So, Wayne, what would you be picking at the moment, if anything?
picking SA government bonds, despite the high inflation rate, despite everything, they are holding steady and they're giving you a good, solid, real return in a very worrying global high inflation environment. So that's what I would be doing. Yes.
Okay. David?
That's remarkable how they've held up, really, you know, against what's happening in the US. Now, I'm going for my favorite company. They came out with the results today, ASML in the Netherlands. Brilliant numbers. We've just lost Wayne. He's vanished. Brilliant numbers. And really, when you read what the CEO, Peter Wennink, says about the industry, this is going to double by the end of the decade. You know, so demand for chips. They make the machines that make the chips. So he's very optimistic. And I just think this is the one that you can add to the FANG list.
Okay. No, all right.
It's super, super company.
Okay. We shall leave it there. I don't know what happened to Wayne. So Wayne, sorry. Thank you very much for joining us. David Shapiro is from Sassman Securities. Wayne McCurry is from FNB Wealth and Investments. Bright will take more of your questions tomorrow. Do send them ahead of time. Stockwatch@bdtv.co.za. But in the meantime, have a good evening. Yes.